You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You hear the music? That's our man, Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, our Penguins insider. Happy Thursday morning to you, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
We're great. We're actually having a great morning. Unseasonably mild here in Pittsburgh, PA, so that's good.
Sure, there's 3 feet of snow on the ground up in Buffalo, nonetheless.
Yeah, that's...
That's their problem. I'm home with you guys. I'm not on this trip, but good. I get to enjoy 70 degrees. This is crazy.
You do like Buffalo, though. You're odd in that you do like that town.
I do.
Let's get to this. Let's template out the goalie situation just real quick. 9 in a row for Matt Murray. Here's the way we talked this out this morning. Here's the way I would do it. I'd play him again tonight, DeSmith against St. Louis, then come back with Murray on Sunday against Philly.
I don't disagree with you, Colin, but I do think that Matt Murray's played a lot. You know what, 9 in a row. And I wouldn't begrudge Mike Sullivan if he decided to go to Casey DeSmith tonight and, you know, start Murray in back-to-back games this weekend. And Murray has shown an ability to do that. I think Murray would want to play at home, has played really well at home. You know, that's a really big game Sunday against the Flyers. And that's one, you know, where you would typically, the second night of a back-to-back, play your backup goaltender. But I think you want Murray playing that game. And St. Louis is honestly been playing extremely well. And if you look at these three starts, which one's the easiest, it very well might be Buffalo. So that's the way I would go. But if they went your route, I certainly wouldn't think that was crazy. I mean, I think there's, you know, a pretty big argument for sticking with Matt Murray and then splitting the back-to-back. But I think we can safely say that Casey DeSmith will get one of these three games anyway.
Mike Sullivan has played Casey DeSmith, started him in some of these games lately against Western Conference opponents. Does that factor into his decision-making at all, Jason? Because they've got games against Nashville and Dallas next week and then another one against Nashville the week after that. Does that play a part at all, the fact of which opponent they're playing?
No, not a ton. I mean, obviously a better team, they, I think, want Murray, and I say that with three starts in mind. That I think we've talked about these. I know I've written about them, but in Vegas, he started Casey DeSmith over Matt Murray when he easily could have played Murray. Against San Jose, a home game earlier this year, and then in Tampa, he did the same thing. I mean, those are big-deal teams where what are you doing monkeying around with your backup? And so I say that to say, even if it's a Eastern Conference team, a Western Conference team, I think where they're at now is a different place than they were then, and I don't think the team plays as much of a factor.
Jason Mackey joins us here on the Fan Morning Show. Okay, take us to right now, which is the 14th day of March, then take us back when the trade was triggered and went through with McCann. Is he exceeded expectations, or did Jim Rutherford think this is what he was getting, and everybody else just didn't think what Jim Rutherford thought?
Yeah, I think he has still exceeded expectations, Colin, but I do think that he's been even, you know, I mean, they were very high on him from the beginning. I remember talking to Rutherford that day, and it was one of those weird conversations where you distinctly remember where you were, what you were doing, whatever, but he was just raving about Jared McCann and how great this kid is and how he thinks he's going to fit into what the Penguins do. And I remember at the time thinking, okay, Jim, okay. You know, he's trying to, you know, sell us something here. But, I mean, how do you argue with it now? This kid's been the exact perfect fit. I think everybody sort of took the Bukestad angle of it. And said, oh, I've heard of Nick Bukestad. You know, he's the piece in this trade. But, and he very well might be an important part of this team, but Jared McCann has, you know, exceeded even the most wild expectations, I think. And I wrote about this in my story today, but they thought that he could come in here and play a role even if it was within the bottom six. Nobody really saw Jared McCann jumping up and playing with Sidney Crosby and doing it as well as he has. And it's a credit to him as a hockey player and how he thinks the game and his speed and, you know, his willingness to sort of mesh with Crosby and Gensel and change himself a little bit. But he's been so good for this team. It's been one of the biggest things to happen to their whole year, I think.
Well, maybe the better question, Jason, is how in the heck did he not get more of an opportunity to do this in Florida with the roster they have down there? I mean, I don't think he had more than four or five games in Florida this year where he played more than 16 minutes a night.
I know. And, you know, maybe you look at it, I guess, based on what they have and their top two centers, but I mean, that's insane because if you look at what the Penguins have and he's still able to get up there, I think it's probably honestly a lack of creativity on the coach's part. I give Mike Sullivan a lot of credit for giving him an opportunity and realizing something. I mean, it's also notable that Jared McCann has taken a role from Dominic Simone, and on this team, that's no small feat. But no, they just didn't give him much of an opportunity. They didn't let him play with their big guys, and I don't have a great answer for why they didn't, but it looks pretty stupid now because the kid can play.
You can text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Is the Hal Gill template in place for good Branson? That is to say, you look at what the opponent is, and then you chart out his minutes. Some nights it's 11, some nights it's 22. It's dependent on what the matchup is with good Branson.
A little bit, but not totally. I don't think they're in a place where they want to limit, you know, play him only 11 minutes a night. He's played really well, and so has Marcus Pettersson. And as long as those two are together as a defense pair, I think they're going to use them both. And obviously, Pedersen's going to see more minutes on the power play, and Gudbranson's going to see more minutes on the penalty kill. But, you know, yes, against Washington, he's probably going to play more just because you want him out there, and we saw that. I mean, led everybody in ice time the other night. But against, you know, lesser teams or maybe, you know, more mobile teams that don't have that sort of physical threat, I don't think they're looking, at least right now, the way Gudbranson has played, they're not looking to get him off the ice. They're looking to play him a regular amount, and a credit to him, a credit to the Penguins, how they looked at the situation. And, you know, I know Sergei Gonchar and Jacques Martin have played a hand in it, Mike Sullivan as well. And, you know, a lot of people looking at this with a fresh set of eyes instead of what Gudbranson had become in Vancouver. And he's been good, too. I think they're, what, 6-1-1 since they got him, something like that. He's put up a bunch of really, really good numbers. And I would look for him to continue to play, and it's going to be an interesting question when Chris Letang comes back, when Olli Maatta comes back, who ends up coming out of the lineup, and I'm not sure it's Gudbranson.
What about up front when guys start to get healthy, in particular Zach Aston-Reese, and then down the line Brian Rust, who ends up getting pushed out? I would imagine Dominic Simone is one of the ones, but we've also long been talking about this battle between Simone and Bluger for ice time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the easy one right now is Joseph Blandisi whenever Zach Aston-Reese gets back. I mean, he barely even played the other night. And like, what, 6 minutes, maybe less than that. I mean, he's going to be the first guy off the boat. And then the next one, I would have to think it's Teddy Bluger based on Mike Sullivan's precedent, which sounds kind of weird because you're taking away who is at this point a top six winger. But I just don't see a scenario where they sit Dominic Simone in favor of anybody. The coach loves him, and I know what he's thought about in the fan base right now, and there's a very small group that wants him in there. But, I mean, he's got, what, 4 goals in 41 games, something like that. I mean, that's what I would be looking to do. You know, if I was coaching the team, I couldn't continue to give that guy a spot in the lineup, but I don't think that's the route the Penguins are going to go.
Can you envision moments down the stretch or into the playoffs when the Penguins get in, because they will get in, that in Sullivan always talks about pairs, Jason, you know that, not lines, but pairs, where Hornquist is shifted back into that top line when there's a grittier sort of point in a game, when there's a couple minutes left and things get rough and tumble, when he's thrown back in with Sid and Gensel in spots?
I think there is a scenario for that, yes. I think there's a couple issues at play, though. I mean, one, they're not going to mess with this top line right now if it keeps going like this. It doesn't matter who the opponent is or what the situation is. It's just been too good. But let's say this top line does run its course. If you're still getting nothing from Patrick Hornquist and it's playoff time, then yes, I think you're going to have to do that. And I think that line also has traditionally had success in the playoffs because of how it plays, because of how Patrick Hornquist plays. And the only other sort of factor I would look at or way I would change my thinking is if you can find a way to get Patrick Hornquist with Evgeny Malkin. And that would require Phil Kessel sort of picking it up over these final 12 games, getting hot. Maybe you can separate him from Evgeny Malkin and use him to drive the offense in a third line if he can have some chemistry with the Nick Bjugstad, or maybe Rust gets back late, something like that. If you can split up Phil and Gino and it be okay for your team, that's a perfect spot for Patrick Hornquist. So that's a complicated way of saying if the top line slows down a little bit, yes, they'll use Hornquist, but there's also a plan B situation they might like to see happen too.
Our Penguins insider Jason Mackey, the Post-Gazette, with us here on the Fan Morning Show. How much more do they need to see from Phil to get the feeling of, okay, he's back on track, we're closer to the dam breaking perhaps, and Phil looking more like himself again, to where they would be comfortable separating him and Evgeny Malkin?
Yeah, I think they need to see more goal scoring for one, and not just on the power play, more stuff 5-on-5. And he was making a lot of progress, and then he had the one where he just falls down, and I know it was on the power play. And that game, for whatever reason, just was a bad one for him. He looked lost a lot of times handling the puck, and that's what they're trying to not see. You know, they need to have a stretch of games where they see him making plays, making smart plays, not taking risks, not just looking all discombobulated the way he has, for lack of a better term. And I just think it'll be a feel thing. You know, when the goal scoring comes back, when Phil's confidence comes back a little bit, I think they're going to be okay doing it. And, you know, I mean, circumstance just might dictate it. If he has a couple decent games and we're still getting nothing from Patrick Hornquist, I think that's when you'll see them make the switch.
Yeah, I don't know how many psychologists there are from Brentwood, but you're going to be one right now. So, listen here. The Penguins-Capitals dynamic. For years and years and years, it was, well, the Capitals, in a way, are almost subservient to the Pittsburgh Penguins, right? The Penguins are the big dogs, and then there are the Capitals. The Capitals win one Stanley Cup. Is the continuum now shifted to their equal, their peers? What? How do they look at each other? How has the dynamic changed in big brother, little brother sort of syndrome and scenario with the one cup that the Caps won?
Yeah, it's like little brother finally got a punch in, and it wasn't a small punch either. I don't know if it's looked at now like these guys have accomplished everything we've accomplished, but I don't think they look at the Capitals as like the team that is just going to flame out in the playoffs anymore. Like, they have to be taken seriously. And I think that's how the dynamic has changed, that, okay, not that they wouldn't take it seriously before, but I think they look at the Capitals as a legitimate threat to win it all, and I think they should. And I think that, you know, you're going to meet them in the playoffs, and they sort of look at the regular season, how these teams match up, what sort of manifests in these games, and then you know you're going to see them in the playoffs. And so I think that's a lot of what they saw in the regular season here recently. You want to have a good memory against this team going. But I think in the past, where they just kind of knew they had this mental edge over the Capitals, it's fresh when it comes to that stuff. You know, there's no sort of assumed mental edge anymore.
Jason, you're a good man. Enjoy a couple days or a day or so with the family, and then get back into it this weekend with a homestand of two games.
Yes, sir.
All right. Great stuff. Jason Mackey, just so good. On top of everything, you can't catch him off guard with anything Pens related. I guess he's probably what a beat writer's supposed to do.
An insider.
Yes, he is an insider. One of those insiders. He has a blue check mark and everything.
He's plugged in.
Yes. I heard, I think it was Cookie a couple of weeks ago. It was. It was free agent. He's like, I'm looking at this guy on Twitter. I don't know. It doesn't have one of those blue checks.
It was Adam Schrefter instead of Adam Schefter.
Or like the
Shrimp Bayless.
The small L instead of the I.
Yeah.
That gets you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.